изучайте иностранный язык, а может быть, это делает кто-то из ваших знакомых. До 18 ноября вы можете принять участие в языковом конкурсе SBS. Для более подробной информации зайдите на сайт sbs.com.au/nlc18.
The bells of the Carillon in Belgian town of Mechelen, or Malines, as it is called in French. But what brought me into this town was not the desire to see the world-famous St. Romuald's Cathedral. I was tracing the fate of my grandfather, Herman Brisk. All the information I had was a piece of paper my mother received from Belgium as an answer to her inquiry a long time ago.
Bescheinigung. Wir bestätigen hiermit das entsprechende
Deportationscertificate, confirming herewith that according to the deportation register of transit camp in Malines that mentioned Herman Brisk, born 1879, was deported by the German occupational authorities on April 19, 1943, on transport number 20 under number 1039. According to our knowledge, the specified person didn't return from the camp.
Zurückgekehrt.
Kaupanduse agentuur äri Aniline ja pakivärvi.
Wholesale and shop, aniline in packed paints, chemical goods, cosmetics and haberdashery. Herman Brisk, Tallinn, Murivahe Street, 33, Cable, Briskenalin. Offers bronze packaged paints, different brands of loose paint, Folberg's Saccharin No. 2, Flintstones, sewing needles, buttons, cotton wool, Glauber's salts, sulfuric acid, calcinated soda,
My maternal grandfather, Herman Brisk, was born in 1879 in Pernov, present Pärnu in Estlandian province of the Russian Empire. He lived in a small town called Pilsama, or in German, Oberpallen. In 1918, 1 year after the Russian Revolution, Estonia became independent and Herman Brisk moved to Tallinn with his family. He was running a small haberdashery and hardware business. I don't know what made him to leave Estonia in 1929 and go to Antwerp in Belgium. He didn't make any big fortune, lived in a small rented apartment, and generally was engaged in the same business, small wholesale trade.
From the brown envelope.
Bon E, number 011982.
Bon E, number 011982. Received from Herman Brisk. Schubstraat 25, 515 francs for 3 months of rent, 5th of August 1942, signature.
Angesichts der unmittelbar bevorstehenden feindlichen Kriegsausweitung auf belgisches und holländisches Gebiet.
The German army invaded Belgium on May 10th, 1940, and a lot of Belgian citizens, among who were thousands of Jewish residents, fled Belgium to France to escape the German armies. On May 28th, the Belgian King Leopold surrendered to the German army. He was locked up in his palace in Brussels, and the German army took over. We had a German commander-in-chief, so he was a military man in charge of Belgium and the north of France from May 28, 1940 onwards. His name was Alexander von Falkenhausen, and he was responsible for all the anti-Jewish measures that were conducted in Belgium between October 28, 1940, a few months after the invasion, until the summer of 1942 when the Jewish deportation from Mechelen started.
In Mechelen, I met with Doreen Stuyven, assistant archivist and researcher at the former army barracks of Caserne Dassin, Memorial Museum and Documentation Center on Holocaust and Human Rights. She could confirm that Herman Brisk was brought to Caserne Dassin after his arrest in Antwerp in 1943. Between 1942 and 1944, the Nazis used Caserne Dassin as an assembly camp, transporting 25,484 Jews and 352 gypsies, more commonly known today as Roma, from there to death camp Auschwitz-Birkenau. Doreen brings up onto the computer screen an image of a torn brown envelope with a handwritten name of my grandfather. This envelope used to contain 44 personal documents he brought with him to Cassin-Dessin, in Dutch, French, and German. A list of his business contacts, bank statements, insurance policy, various receipts, letters from German occupational authorities, and his records in the Jewish registers. The old papers stayed untouched for many years, until they were digitized by the museum. It is close to a miracle, since all personal records from the opening of the camp in July 1942 until the end of 1942 were burned so that people could not be traced, says Doreen Stuyven.
From the deportees of Transport 1 until 19, we have no personal documents, or very little. At the beginning of 1943, there is a change in camp commander. Philip Schmidt was the commander until that time, had an illegal business in the camp, so he was expelled from Caserne d'Ossin and was replaced by Johannes Frank, who did not longer burn the personal documents of the people who came in. So these envelopes were kept in the administration, and they survived the war there. After the war, some family members had a chance to get them back. Some decided not to do so because we can guarantee that they are safe kept here for forever.
From the brown envelope.
Suite à l'entretien que nous avons eu à la
in reference to the inquiry to the security police on Saturday the 12th this month about the financial support from Baltic and Russian Citizens Help Committee, it is advised that Hermann Brisk is not entitled to the support since he is Jewish. Stamped, Association of Belgian Jews, Committee Director, signed. December 1942.
Belgium was in some sense unusual, since 90% of the Jewish people living here were from the foreign origin, like my grandfather. The archivist at Cassin-Dessin, Doreen Stuyven, explains that the German military governor for Belgium, Alexander von Falkenhausen, published 17 decrees against the Jewish population of Belgium as preparatory measures to the mass deportations.
It all started with anti-Jewish measure of October 28, 1940, which stated that all Jewish adults, and adults were people, men and women, older than 14, they had to come to the town halls of their place of residence to register themselves in a Jewish register. These were Belgian clerks who would fill out the forms for every member of a Jewish household that was 15 years or older. Children that were between the age of a baby and 14 were only added to their father's form. When Jewish boys and girls turned 15, they had to come to the town hall within 3 days after their birthday to register themselves to have their own form. So we see that there is a very logical way of pursuing these registration. After October 28th, it was stipulated that Jews could no longer own radios, so they were cut off from all information.
From the brown envelope.
Empfangsbescheinigung. Von Herrn Brisk Hermann, Antwerpen, Schubstraße 25.
Received. Received from Mr. Brisk, Antwerp, Schubstraße 25. The radio receiver, brand Philips, type 525U, number 2052, 7 dials. Field Kommandateur, Administration Chief. Signed, Antwerp, 21st of June 1941.
Next, says Doreen Stuyven, Jewish bars, restaurants and shops in Belgium had to put up signs in their windows, saying they were Jewish businesses and non-Jews were actively discouraged from visiting them. Jews were also excluded from some professions, such as journalism, and they could no longer be lawyers or professors at universities. It was also declared that Jewish doctors could only see Jewish patients.
In the spring of 1942, a Jewish council erected the Belgian Jewish Association. They do a second round of registration. So they create membership lists of the Jewish council, and all Jewish families had to become members. We see that almost one-third of all Jewish families decided not to become members of the Jewish Council. We do know, however, that this membership lists of the Jewish Council were later used, we suspect, for raids that were organized in Belgium's large cities Antwerp and Brussels.
From the brown envelope.
Association des Juifs en Belgique, numéro de quittance provisoire.
Register. Association of Jews of Belgium. Local Committee. Reference number 12616. 3rd of the 3rd. 42. Name Hermann Brisk. Birth date 26/3/1879. Birthplace Pearlshammer. Profession merchant. Religion Jewish. Nationality Estlander.
On the 2nd of March 1942, the German commander-in-chief ordered expropriation of all Jewish companies. Most of them were small and not very profitable businesses, but nevertheless important for family survival. More than 6,000 of 7,400 registered businesses were either shut down or handed over to Germans in a process called Aryanization.
From the brown envelope.
Aufgrund von Paragraph 17 der Verordnung des Herrn Militärbefehls habe es
on the grounds of Paragraph 18 of the instructions of military commander of Belgium and North France of economic measures against Jews of 31st of May 1941, you are obliged to cease any commercial activity which from this date onwards is forbidden to you at any form. You are held responsible for liquidating your own company. Stamped Military Commander of Belgium and North France, Chief of Management, 23rd of March 1942.
And finally came the last anti-Jewish decree, which had a huge impact. It was proclaimed that all Jews older than 5 had to wear yellow Star of David. So from June 1942 onwards, the Jewish population was not only recognizable by a stamp in the identity card, but also by the yellow star on their clothes. Everything was ready for the deportation and making Belgium Judenfrei, free of Jews. In July 1942, Kaserne Rassin opened its gate.
Kaserne Rassin is an old army building. It's a square with a large courtyard and one big gate leading to this courtyard. It's a big building. Before the war, it was used by the Belgian army as a school. In July 1942, the Nazis in Belgium were looking for a building that they could use as a Sommerlager, camp where they could collect the Jewish people to deport them to Auschwitz-Birkenau. They chose Kaserne Dauphin because of its the way it was built, more of a prison than military camp. It was also close to Brussels and Antwerp, two large cities in Belgium, which had huge Jewish communities of more than 20,000 people. And there was a railroad track leading to the building, and from there to town of Mechelen, to Leuven, to Germany, and then to Auschwitz in Poland.
The Germans started abducting Jewish girls who spoke several languages to work as secretaries in Kaserne Dauphin. They were just plucked from the streets on the way to work and brought to the transit camp, says Doreen Stuyven. At the beginning of August 1942, the administration unit for the camp was set up and the first Jewish men and women started to arrive. The Germans issued 12,000 orders to the Jewish population, each one under a personal name, to come to the camp because they'd been selected for forced labor in the East. The letter stated that if they did not come voluntarily, there would be severe consequences for themselves, their families, and the whole Jewish community. 4,000 people out of 12,000 who received the letters came voluntarily, and the first convoys left Kaserne Rassin in August and September 1942. But after that, Jews didn't trust the German letters anymore and stopped coming. Following the directions of the occupation authorities, the Jewish Council added notes to the letters, begging people to go to Kaserne Dauphin, but even those were ignored.
What happens then? The Germans have quota. They have to deport 10,000 Jews by the end of 1942, and the Germans decide to organize big raids. because they have to reach their quota. So they contact Antwerp police to help them. In Antwerp, there will be four big raids. The Antwerp police will cut off streets where a lot of Jewish families are living and drag out the people. They often use violence. The people are beaten, they are assaulted, yelled at, called names, spit at.
From early 1943, Jewish bank accounts in Belgium were gradually centralized for future confiscation, with a demand of their transfer to a financial institution controlled by the German occupational authorities.
From the brown envelope.
Banque d'Anvers, Anvers, le 10 février 1943.
Bank d'Anvers, 10th of February 1943. Monsieur Herman Brisk. Monsieur, we have an honor to bring to your knowledge that as per decision of 24th of October 1942 of military commander of Belgium and North France, all bank deposits and accounts of Jews are to be transferred to Belgian banks. Signed, Banque d'Anvers, S.A.
28 convoys in total left Katzern-Dessen to Auschwitz-Birkenau. The moment the arrested Jewish men and women entered the Katzern-Dessen camp, their names were added to the deportation list. Doreen Stuyven shows me that Herman Brisk was registered on March 5, 1943, but there is no further information concerning his arrest. Upon entering the Katzern-Dessen, he received his number 1039 on the list of Transport 20.
Deportation list.
Transport 20, 1027, Hammer Sigmund, 4.4.1897, Buchhalter.
Transport 20, 1027, Hammer Sigmund, 4th of the 4th, 1897, Accountant. 1028, Glücksmann Charlotte, 3rd of the 11th. 1903, Berlin Housewife. 1039, Brisk Hermann, 26th of March, 1879, Pölzheimer, Estland Merchant. 1041.
Transport 20 left Katzern-Dessen in Mechelen on April 19 and arrived in Auschwitz on April 22, 1943. It took 3 days instead of two because the train was attacked by the resistance fighters.
Transport 20 is special because it's the only deportation train in Europe that is attacked from the outside. There are three young men, Jura Lifschitz, he was a Jewish doctor-to-be, and two of his school comrades, Jean-Franck Lemont and Robert Mestriot, and they decided to do something for the Jews that were being deported. They had some help of the organized resistance of the armed partisans, but most of the action they did themselves. From the resistance, they received 50,000 Belgian francs in small notes. That was a huge amount in those days, to distribute amongst the Jews that they would be able to liberate from the train. And they got one gun with a few bullets, so they didn't even have a gun for all of them.
According to the records, three attackers placed the red lantern onto the train tracks between the stations of Mechelen and Leuven, and train stopped. But what the fighters didn't know, the Transport 20 comprised cattle wagons sealed off with barbed wire, and the German escort was in the first, not last, carriage. As soon as attackers fired the first shot, the guards started to shoot back.
I think that Jean-Franck Lemont could not open one of the wagons since he was under heavy fire from the Germans. We know that Robert Mestriot reached the middle of the train where he used some kind of scissors to cut open the barbed wire, and he opened the door of one wagon. We think it's wagon 16 or 17. There were 1,600 people in Transport 20, so we have 20 to 30 wagons. And by counting the numbers of people that arrived in Auschwitz, we know that 15 to 17 people were able to escape. 10 of them were able to go into hiding and survive the war. The others, 5 to 7 people, were caught again and were deported. None of them survived. When the train got on its way again, we see that there are resistance fighters in the wagon, Jewish fighters who were locked up in Katzern-Dessen, and they smuggled in tools, hammers, saws, and they were able to escape several dozens of people from these wagons. In total, we know that 232 people jumped from Transport 20.
Doreen Steven confirmed that sadly Herman Brisk wasn't among the people who jumped the train. It is still unclear what happened to my grandfather upon arrival in Auschwitz-Birkenau. There is no death certificate or a document with a tattoo number to his name. It can only be confirmed that he died after deportation, but officially it's not possible to add any information on the date, place, or circumstances of his death. But since my grandfather was almost 65 years old when he arrived to the camp, it is likely that he was killed immediately. Only old papers left behind at Caserne de Seine can confirm that he once was here. Outside of the massive walls of the former army barracks, a Jewish Museum of Deportation and Resistance was founded in 1995 by a number of Holocaust survivors. With the support from the Flemish government, it's been expanded into a second building, now called Caserne de Seine, Memorial, Museum and Documentation Center on Holocaust and Human Rights. The former transportation camp itself was some time ago turned into a housing complex. People actually live in this building today. Standing in its courtyard, I could hear the bells of Cathedral of St. Romuald. The deep arching gateway to the courtyard is still in place. My grandfather, Herman Brisk, walked through here before leaving in a cattle wagon to Auschwitz-Birkenau on transport number 20 on April 19, 1943. My grandfather was as old as I am now. The bells are ringing in his memory. The beautiful bells of Mechelen.
SBS Russian доступен на приложении Apple Podcasts и Google Podcasts, а также на любой подкаст-платформе.